This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
You may be seated. It's great to have you here. We have a baptism at the end of this service. We have, I think, 3 people being baptized. But if you feel the Lord is impressing on your heart to be baptized, you're more than welcome. You can go in just as you are. I often do like this. So if God lays on your heart to be baptized also today, this is the best day for baptism. We're continuing on this theme of being the resistance in this world, being in a spiritual battle that continues and rages throughout the ages. And what God teaches us as His children that have moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and the reality of this war that we're in, that's not against flesh and blood, but spiritual powers and rulers, and how we are to engage in this war. And in Ephesians 6, we see of this armor that God calls us to put on as we stand against the schemes of the devil. And so we are continuing through this, and we talked about the shoes and the belt and the breastplate, the helmet, the shield, and the sword, which is the willingness to spread the gospel, the truth, the righteousness, the shield of faith, the word, and the helmet of salvation. And now we're continuing today with that. But let's just recap again Ephesians 6 from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of this darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And today, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It's a powerful conclusion to this series, I think. We might continue, but verse 18 today, I'll read it again in the NIV. It says it so. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So I want to share 5 things this morning concerning prayer in the context of this spiritual war that we are engaging in. Prayer is part of the spiritual war. That's the first point. The second point would be that we must be alert always. Thirdly, that we should be praying in the Spirit. Fourthly, that we should not only be praying for ourselves, but all the saints. And then lastly, I'll leave for last. The metaphor of the armor, if we read this portion of Scripture, has been dropped, replaced, but not the concept of conflict. We move from this various pieces of a Roman soldier's armor to this concept of prayer in the midst of this conflict. And what now is emphasized is the importance of prayer in our spiritual warfare. Prayer is the most vital part of our spiritual life and war. I'm reminded of Jesus' final hours in the garden. One of His most difficult times, when darkness and evil was closing in like savage wolves that circles their prey for the kill, Jesus was mindful of this event and battle that will define eternity as darkness and light collides on the cross. And Jesus calls his closest disciples together and asks them to do what? To pray. And so we read in Matthew 26, when Jesus finds them asleep, he says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Of course, we no longer need to fear the battle or the outcome of this battle, because Jesus rose from the dead, overcame sin and death. But the battle still rages. And we must therefore do everything to stand in the midst of this battle, even though the outcome is secure. And we are finishing off this race, finishing off this battle. It still rages on. And the Word of God says we must do everything to stand, to put on the armor of God, and to pray, being watchful to the very end. Because this is a continuous battle for the minds and hearts of men and women, for the salvation of souls, the battle still continues. And Ephesians 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." So how should we pray in the midst of this battle? First of all, it says with all kinds of prayers and on all occasions. In other words, privately, publicly, in secret, openly, individually, and corporately. You know, this Monday, we as a church are going to pray corporately, together. We're going to seek the Lord's face. We're going to pray His kingdom and His will to come together. There's something powerful in prayer in the midst of this battle that we're engaging in, together as a church. You know, there should be no stage of life that we should be without prayer, whether we're youth or in our midlife or in our old age. There should be no occasion that would prevent prayer from being part of our lives. No condition of life should prevent prayer, whether adversity, suffering, prosperity, desolation, success or failure, during a breakthrough or under temptation, under trial or in under all changing circumstances. We are called to pray. Continually. Always. You see, the battle is not over until Jesus returns. We're still in this battle. And if you read Revelation, it's only those who overcome that will inherit. Not those who fall along the side. And so we have to be watchful, on our guard, and alert. In Mark 13, verse 33, Jesus says, "Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when the time will come." And in Ephesians 4 verse 2 says, "Continued steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." And this concept of being watchful in the context of a conflict is so emphasized. You mean in any war, that is one thing all soldiers have to be at all time during any conflict, is to be watchful. And so the way we are watchful, on guard, and alert in the spiritual conflict is through prayer. That's why Jesus says in Luke 18, he gives a parable, but this is the reason for the parable. You can read it yourself at home. "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." That's what we're called to do. You know, you can have the best armor and the best weapons, but if you're fast asleep, it doesn't mean anything. If you're not watchful to see when the enemy is coming, you will be overwhelmed. And so you have to be watchful. Prayer requires discipline. And that's the challenge of prayer. It doesn't come naturally. Prayer is a choice that requires discipline, like in any army. You know, an army will stand or fall based on the central concept of discipline. That's why if you join the army, what we did most of my time was teaching young men discipline. Yes, we taught them how to shoot and how to fight, but everything stood on the central concept of discipline. Are you disciplined to react, to relate, and to act based on discipline, personal discipline, unit discipline, and greater discipline? And so we instill people how to drill, how to stand still, how to respond to commandments, how to clean. Discipline. Because all warfare success is based on the discipline of the soldiers, not the greatest of their commandments. I think it was Julius Caesar that says, I am not afraid of an army of lions led by a sheep. I am afraid of sheep led by an eye. I'm a lion. Okay. However, the reality is, it's all based on discipline. Whether they can work together, respond together, whether they are watchful and ready. And in this spiritual warfare, what makes us watchful and ready is prayer. And so we are called to be disciples. The root word for disciple is discipline. We are called to be disciplined because Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know how you overcome weakness? Through discipline. Who have you run? Okay, great. Who have you want to run? Who have you want to run? Why don't you run? Because when you start, you are weak. You can't go around the block. It's embarrassing. You know, it's embarrassing when you have to run with your wife and she runs away from you. It's embarrassing. Okay? So when you start running, like myself, you are weak. The only way you get strong is through discipline. Getting up every morning early and forcing my body to run. It doesn't want to run. Because it's weak. It suffers when it does. But if I discipline my body often enough to do it every day, guess what happens? My body becomes strong. And then I start enjoying running. And then I do it often. Because now I run away from my wife. You see? And so prayer is a spiritual discipline that enables us to be alert and awake and participate in this war that we are all in. Ephesians 6 verse 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So here we also read this powerful concept of praying in the Spirit. Where does this relate to this powerful concept of a spiritual gift given to us? We read here in Romans 8 verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also help us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Praying in the Spirit refers to the gift of tongues through which we have a spiritual language through which we communicate with words that is not understood but is spiritually discerned, for it is the Spirit speaking unto the Spirit. It's a powerful gift God has given us to enable us to be effective in everyday prayer. When we pray in the Spirit, Paul writes here, very interestingly, in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. In 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, for the one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Therefore, it is powerful in spiritual warfare. Sometimes even you come into a situation where you feel uneasy, you know something is wrong, but you don't know what to pray or what to pray against, then praying in the Spirit is powerful because it's not you praying, but you are praying the perfect will of God. And so it is a powerful tool in our warfare. As Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit help us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So praying in your personal tongues is a very powerful gift, and I really want to encourage those who have this gift to discipline themselves, not to neglect this gift, but to use it every day. You know, one of the most powerful things is not just in warfare, but in spiritual growth. But we'll get there, but especially in the context of warfare. For we do not always know what we ought to pray, but when we pray in the Spirit, we pray the perfect will of God. Because our minds are not involved. It is the Spirit of God that speaks. And as 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Now, if you don't have this gift yet, it might sound very weird, not just when somebody prays in the Spirit, but this concept that your mind is not involved in speaking to God, because our minds are in control of speech, but when you pray in the Spirit, your mind is not in control. It is the Spirit that is praying, and therefore, it is possible to pray at all times. You can wash the dishes, drive the car, work on the computer and pray in the Spirit. My mind is not active except the will to or not to. That's it. The rest is from the Spirit. So I want to really encourage you, if you do not have the ability yet to speak in tongues, to ask for prayer. It's a gift available to all of us. But not just in warfare. It's powerful just growing spiritually. Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You see, we are built up spiritually through praying in the Holy Spirit because we are praying and asking God His perfect will. And so often in my quiet times when I'm in nature, I would just be still and pray in the Spirit until I sense the presence of God, and then I pray with my understanding. Or when my understanding fails me and I don't have much more to pray, I can still continue in the Spirit. It's a powerful gift, and we want to encourage you to flow in that. But this warfare for prayer is not just about you. Praying is not only for yourself, it is about all the Lord's people. You see, the Christian life is not about self. It is about the other. The world is all about self, but the Christian life is about God and your neighbor, your brother, your sister. Christ didn't come to die for himself. He came to die for the other. Neither did he come to be served. He came to serve. You see, because God's love is not about self. It is about the other. Just like the Roman soldiers' shields, we heard in our series about the Roman shield that was so effective to protect the individual shoulder. But when it is locked together, when it is corporately applied, it becomes almost impenetrable. So too with the shield or the helmet of salvation, that is not just for the protection of the head, but it is a greater purpose of identity, of belonging, of being part of something greater. So too when we pray, not just for ourselves, but for others, when we come together with others, prayer becomes a multiplier in its effect. That's why Jesus said, "His two or three agree on earth concerning anything, it will be done for them." There is a multiplying effect when we pray together, and therefore we want to invite all of you to join us on Monday as we participate in this battle, being watchful and ready. So praying together becomes a multiplier, praying in agreement, praying in unity. And most importantly, praying for all as the church. Praying for all the saints, not just for yourself. You see, one thing that I've discovered is that the will of God is greater than I. The will of God is greater than the individual.
And from Genesis to Revelations, we see this golden thread of God's will and purposes throughout history that continues. And we have the privilege to participate, to partner in this golden thread that leads to eternal life. But this golden thread is not about me. It's about Him. And I have the privilege to participate in it. That's the power of praying, not just for yourself, but actually praying for the greater will and purpose of God. This concept of participation, partnership, and intimacy, the Greek word for that is koinonia, which we use as in English fellowship. If you want to have fellowship with God, partner with Him, participate with Him, and have intimacy with Him, and the most powerful way to do that is through prayer. You know, we cannot all go to the ends of the earth to share the gospel, but we can all participate in the golden thread of sharing the gospel to the ends of the world through prayer. How powerful that is, that we can be here and still participate and partner with God's purposes through prayer. When we ask God to bless, to protect, to enable, and to send, that's how we participate. And in that participation and partnership with God through prayer, like Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father that art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus says we must ask God through prayer. We must engage with Him for His purpose, His kingdom, and His will to be done. And through that, we are partnering with Him and we have fellowship with Him. What a privilege it is to pray. Not just for ourselves, but for the greater will of God. And when I am praying for the greater will of God, when I'm focusing not just on myself, but all the saints, the chances are that I am actually praying closer to the will of God than praying for my own needs. It's when I focus on the other that I get closer to the will of God than I am when I focus on myself. And then, of course, 1 John 5 becomes a reality. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. So let us pray, not just being watchful for ourselves, but let's be watchful for the church, God's kingdom and God's will. An opportunity to participate with Christ in His purpose. And so we can have fellowship with Him. And when we pray, not just for ourselves, but for the church. Not just for this congregation, but the church in this community, in this nation, and the church in this world. That's our participation with Him. And that brings me to my final point. Please pray for me. And for Werner. And for leaders like us who preach the word. Ephesians 6 verse 18 going on to 19 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whatever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel." Pray for us to be fearless when we preach the word. Fearless to preach the gospel, the truth, uncompromisingly. Preaching what Jesus says, what He meant when He said, when He meant it, when He said it, in a way that is understood by the world. Not to be conformed to this world, not to be pressured, not to speak the truth, but to be bold in sharing the truth. More than ever before, there is such a lot of pressure to conform to the world, to be silent about that what offends, and to hide the truth. Please pray for us that we will speak the truth in love. Give us the wisdom to speak the truth, not to please the world or men, but in such a way that honors, glorifies, and pleases God. We must pray for our leaders. We must pray for our church in this nation that bows its knee so easily to the pressures of this world. Pray for us that we will fearlessly speak the truth in love with wisdom. Pray for the church. Pray for its leaders. Pray that our focus remain on the mystery of the gospel and not be distracted by other mysteries. So let us pray for all the saints and its leaders in God's church, His kingdom to come and His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in light of all this, will we consider to make prayer a priority again, a discipline in our lives? That is what God calls us to. It is the gateway to fellowship, intimacy, participation, and partnership with God. Can we consider to make it a priority again and to discipline ourselves until it becomes easy? So we want to invite you this Monday to come and pray with us just for an hour. And then we're going to break the fast right here with some nice food. But Jesus asked His disciples, could you not pray with me 1 hour? So I want to encourage us all to make it a priority, to discipline ourselves and to start on this journey to make prayer a lifestyle in our church, in our community. Because that's what God has called us to. In it, you will have fellowship with God. And your life will change. So please join us on Monday. I want to end over this scripture in Thessalonians 5 verse 16 that speaks of the will of God. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in every circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And as we continue in this, it will become a reality. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this morning. The privilege to come together in your name to fellowship with our brothers and sisters, to worship you and to thank you for your goodness of saving us, redeeming us, giving us life, hope, and inheritance and your spirit. But God, this morning again, we're just reminded that life is more about us. It is about you and your purposes, Lord, and you've granted us an opportunity to become a co-laborer with you in this great adventure to see your kingdom come. And Lord, we want to commit ourselves to make it a priority, to discipline ourselves, our bodies, so that we can become fighting fit for your kingdom. And so this morning, God, I pray that you will speak to each and every one of us. And I want to give you an opportunity just where you are seated. If you're sitting next to someone, just to turn to that person and to pray with him that God will make prayer a priority, a discipline again in our lives. And that we will participate in His kingdom and His purposes. If you're alone, just where you are in your own seat, just speak to God. And if you're with somebody, just for 30 seconds, turn to one another and let's pray. Let's respond to God's word this morning. Just where you are. Father, I am reminded of the fact that through your Son's death and resurrection, the veil was torn. That what separated us from entering into your presence, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of humanity, was torn so that we may have access to you. What a privilege and what a cost it took to make it available for me, Andries, 2,000 years, a gentle, coming into your presence and calling on your name, knowing that you hear me, and that when I ask according to your will, you grant what I ask for. What a privilege. God, I pray that we will never forget this, that we'll use it every day and see your kingdom come, see your will be done. Rejoice with those who sow as we reap where we did not sow. And so, God, I want to pray for this privilege to be a reality more and more. And while all the eyes are closed, if you are here this morning and you have never entered behind that veil, God has always been distant for you. You have never been able to approach Him as a Father that loves you. He sends an invitation. I've given my Son so that you can come to me, to know me. If that is you and you want to respond to this God that loves you so much, while all the eyes are closed, I just want you to raise your hand and say, God, I want to know you. I want to give my life. I want to surrender. Thank you for that hand. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. You can just drop it again. Is there anyone else? Father, I thank you for those who are responding right now to this invitation to know you, to experience you, to come into your presence, to be forgiven, to be redeemed, to be accepted, beloved, belong. God, I pray that you will open the floodgates of heaven in their hearts, in their minds. Holy Spirit, come and flood them even right now, that will testify, yearn, cry out that they are indeed now children of God, belonging to you. God, I pray that you will seal them with your Spirit, Lord, that you will empower them to know the truth. Lord, I pray that as they read your word, it will become alive. And God, I ask for your grace that they will follow you, what they see, what they hear, as they do so. In Jesus' name. So for the rest of us, may God bless you. We're going to stand. We're going to end off with a song and praise. If you raised your hand, somebody will probably come and pray with you, if you don't mind. You can maybe just stand, all of us together. And please remember, we're having a baptism. What is the time now? I can't see that far. I'm getting old. 11:30. 11:45. 11:45. We will be at the Old Harbor to baptize. Hey, if you gave your life to God for the first time, why don't you join us? Just come as you are. Like the Ethiopian asked Philip. Who was it? Stephen. Philip. It was Philip. He was driving somewhere. Philip got into the chariot, explained to him the gospel. The guy believed and he said, what hinders me to be baptized? And he says, well, if you believe, nothing. And then he said, but I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So they stopped the chariot. They went down to the water and he was baptized. And it's over and done with. It's sealed. So if you raised your hand and you have the boldness, the conviction, join us. If you come like you are, I will go in like I am. It's the deal. But anyone here, if you've not yet taken that step of absolute surrender, no matter what the world says, theology says, or your parents may think, your friends may say, Jesus was the Son of God. He had no sin. He had no need to repent. And he went to be baptized by a man. And he said, let all, so that all righteousness be fulfilled. So this is your opportunity to honor God, say, I commit myself to follow Jesus in a very powerful way. If that is you, join us also. 11:45, we will be there. But let's worship the Lord.
We just sing to Him now, Jesus. We sing, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.